In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, join us as we interview Shockwolf from the Persistent World Wolverheim, a Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Yeah, Justin here, DM from Realms of Trinity.
Hi, this is Aaron from Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian, from the Neverwinter Nights Podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
Hey, this is Shockwolf from Wolverheim Persistent World.
And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights Podcast. And this is the 136th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, hey, today's episode, we got Shockwolf here from Wolverheim, and he's going to join us for an in-depth interview about his newer Persistent World. He's been doing a lot of work to get this Persistent World up. He's a one-man band, actually. I was surprised to hear that in his interview that's coming up. You've got to check it out. But first, got some... Instead of getting into some just general news about the community, something that came up on our forums was that there was an interest of learning more about the single-player modules that are being built for the Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, the actual game series. And what we like to do today is I just sniffing around on the old vault. It was like the little basset hound sniffing for a bone. You know, and I was taking a look at some of their recent posts, and they had an interesting post about Neverwinter Nights 2 and Neverwinter Nights 1 single-player modules that were close to their Hall of Fame status. And it's pretty important to go over these because the Hall of Fame status and just the fact that people were actually contributing some feedback about content creators' work encourages them to create more and to not only to create more, but to actually, you know, be a part of the community more, which helps brings players in. And it's also a higher selling point for those who recently joined on Steam and some of the other venues that allowed them to be able to come onto the Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World and module scene through the Stell on Steam. So tonight we're going to actually go through the Neverwinter Nights 1 modules and Neverwinter Nights 2 modules to go over ones that are close to getting their Hall of Fame status, right? Whether they need one vote or two, in a couple cases maybe three votes. We're going to go ahead and go through that list. Starting with the Neverwinter Nights 1 modules that are close to Hall of Fame is a module called Big Trouble in Littleton. It's only missing one vote, so it's really close. And a little synopsis about it, written by the author, it says, "Something is wrong in the small hamlet of Littleton. Do you have the strength and will to find the problem and correct it?" It is a pretty cool, I downloaded it and took a look at it. It is a pretty cool little module, and it is very well done. And definitely check it out and give them a vote, you know.
Another Neverwinter Nights 1 module is Sleepwalker 1, Desert Greed. It's also missing only one vote. The quick synopsis is, you awake in a desert oasis with no memory of recent events and a strange amulet attached to your neck. Somehow you must figure out a way to return to your home and hopefully along the way piece together what has happened to you. It's a plot-driven single-player adventure for a first-level character and will get you to level 6 or 7. But be prepared to enjoy poke fish, undead henchmen, logic puzzles, plenty of alignment options, and item creation. Make sure at level 1 you use a fighter, paladin, cleric, ranger, or druid.
The Adventurer's Challenge, Episode 1, which is missing just one vote. The Adventurer's Challenge is a highly scripted, puzzle-oriented module for solo play only. You have heard of a challenge created by a wizard to test the will of men. You have arrived at the test and are prepared to show off your skills in the test that are both subtle and straightforward. This is episode 1 of a 4-part series.
And coming up to Neverwinter Nights 2, these are the modules that are close to Hall of Fame. The Lighthouse, it's only missing two votes. It's a small module, and there's a little one-line synopsis. It says, what secrets hide in the old abandoned lighthouse on a tiny island of Ender's Point? This is a small module. It's intended for a character about level 3. It's about up to 20 minutes of gameplay, or maybe a little longer depending at the speed that you play it. It's not a large single-player module. It was done more for the authors so that they get a little more comfortable with the tool set. But they, for being one of their first and earliest works, I'd say it is well done for that case. So definitely give them a vote out there.
The next one is The Halls of the Hamhock. Wondrous was the Hall of Dwarven Kings, a crucible of history and legend. The events of this module take place 800 years after the founding of the Dwarf Kingdom, which has undergone a rich and tumultuous history. Now rumors abound of an old enemy threatening the dwarves once more. You, the player, find yourself willing or reluctantly drawn into the unrest. This is a story-driven, party-based adventure designed for a fifth-level character of good or neutral alignment.
The last one on our list is Being Good, which is missing just 3 votes from the Hall of Fame. In Being Good, you have recently graduated at the Academy of Tier Avoiders, and now need to fulfill a mission where you spread the teachings you acquired in countless lessons. And all that just to be prepared for your great destiny, becoming a fairy godmother. Dear God, why?
Well, that's quite interesting, Roan. If you're a player out there and you want to become a fairy godmother, this is the module for you. And you
I feel so pretty.
You know, I'd encourage everybody to get out there, check out some of these modules. There's a lot of other ones, too, that we're going to be going over in a little bit more in depth. I've looked over a lot of the custom content that's put out there. There's a lot of really talented developers that have contributed not just to Persistent Worlds, but they've done these single-player modules that really a lot of people like. And there was, I remember seeing a poll not terribly long ago on the IGN Vault where they had posed the question, you know, what people really want. And believe it or not, single-player modules are still higher player desire for those modules than there is Persistent Worlds. So, yeah, for whatever reason, you know, because it is a more enclosed, and it's a, you know, you don't have to worry about have doing parties or, you know, having player interactions. So if it's not your cup of tea, and if you like to go things at your own pace and things like that, that's something for you to look at. They are very similar to the original campaign, the way it's set up, but just a lot smaller in most cases. Some of them are rather big. I've looked at a few of them, so there's some that have been extremely large for a single-player module, and they're very cool. And some of them come in with full stories and parts and all kind of stuff like that. So definitely check them out. Well, hey, we got Shockwolf here, so why don't we get the interview started? Well, hey, Shockwolf, thanks for coming on the show. It's glad to have you on to tell you about your Persistent World. And, just get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Wolverheim is pretty much a one-man band at the moment, and always has been up to now, just me, Shockwolf. But there is the likelihood of another one joining in and helping out. I'm not going to tell you that I've been a long time follower of Pen and Paper, Dungeons and Dragons, and Forgotten Realms ever since birth, okay? So I'm probably one of the exceptions to the rule when it comes to most Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world builders, matter. I would say that on the scale of things, I'm probably quite new to the scene. I only got into Neverwinter Nights 1 Forgotten Realms since after the release of the first game. I will say that for quite some time, I've been fond of games in general, of course, especially PC games in most of my spare time, whether it be playing them and developing mods. I've always been into art and games my whole life. When I was a kid, I used to do a lot of drawing, which included images of fantasy and sci-fi warriors and monsters, much to the displeasure of my parents. Then there were times I made my own board games that friends actually enjoyed playing. So I think that was probably the thing that got me hooked up on making games, the buzz I got out of that. I never really had the proper chance to get into playing pen and paper D&D, like I said, but I've played a total of one game with a bunch of friends from school, and we never got around to finishing it. But there were basic top games like Games Workshop and Milton Bradley that I enjoyed, like HeroQuest, Talisman, Warhammer 40K, and it was before I could afford any of those games as a child that I was inspired to make my own. Alongside that, I've always been very fond of various computer games ever since I had the Commodore 64, and I usually use many tools that accompanied them that enabled me to create my own maps and scenarios. I've built for or simply tweaked with a lot of games and other people's mods in the past, but the games that I've actually created my own scenarios and maps for would be probably Boulder Dash, Warcraft 2, Civilization. Yeah,
you better redact World of Warcraft.
I know. We'll forget that. Oh, we'll go into World of Warcraft later. Anyway, yeah, Civilization 2 and 3, Aliens vs. Predator 2, and of course, Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. My most proud project, besides Wolverheim, of course, was a 3D deathmatch map for Aliens vs. Predator 2 called Mikey's Hope. Which scored 4 out of 5 on Planet AVP's Map of the Week review. Since then, I've worked on a few of my own Neverwinter Nights 1 modules, being Gladiator, Siege of the Witch Elves, just to get to the feel of the tool set, and then Grim Legacy, which was a full-size module. But looking back now, I didn't really take Grim Legacy very seriously, and I regret that now. So I intend to sort of redeem myself, so to speak, with Wolverheim. And I believe my experience in playing various computer games influences my ideas and inspiration for creating mods. I'm hoping this serves me well in bringing something a bit fresher to the palette of Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent Worlds.
So, yeah, definitely. Having interviewed some other folks, too, that you know have done a lot of Neverwinter 1 and 2 and a lot of custom gaming, it seems like the common thread that I see is that you had a desire to create games from an early date, from an early age. From the Commodore, good old 64, and you know all the way up. And, you know, I myself did the same thing, so that's why listening to what you were telling me about your background, it just resonates a lot with you know how I got started even myself. So that's awesome. You know, what got you interested in creating a Neverwinter 2 Persistent World? You know, what was your vision? What did you see about the landscape that kind of you know pulled you into wanting to create a Persistent World?
Well, after creating Grim Legacy for Neverwinter Nights 1, I was itching to see what the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset had to offer and what I could do with it, and hopefully expand my skills as a developer. I wanted to take a huge step further and, most importantly, more seriously. But at the time, I didn't know what I was going to do exactly. However, I was introduced to a game called The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. And by another friend of mine, I was introduced to World of Warcraft. Oblivion became and still is my most favorite game of all time. I love it. That is, you know, that and its sci-fi rivals, Fallout 3 and New Vegas, also great. I tried the 10-day trial, free trial of World of Warcraft, and made it to about level 14 on the 7th day, at which I had to put it down because I didn't enjoy the character design and progression, and the quests were just such a boring, repetitive grind, and playing World of Warcraft just made me crave Neverwinter Nights and Oblivion even more. Unlike the latter, well, WoW didn't really serve as much inspiration, but it did teach me that non-linear sandbox worlds are popular with MMOs, and that Neverwinter Nights 2, with the right kind of module, could probably easily rival a game like World of Warcraft. Maybe not in world and player hosting size, but certainly in gameplay and multiplayer concepts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, just the fact that the quality difference. I mean, I know, you know, I talk to people who play a lot, used to play World of Warcraft that came to our server and other ones too, you know, just us. I hear this from other content creators as well, that just the fact that, like you were saying about these sandbox type environments that are, I feel, that are somewhat dumbed down for the populace. You know, they're not hardcore RPG environments. I mean, they do have elements of RPG, but they're not hardcore RPG. So. And you're also, like you were saying before, too, just about the number of players and not being, you know, you guaranteed there's never one or two Persistent Worlds that smoke World of Warcraft. But the fact is you'll never be able to surpass the amount of cash that they have put, you know, Blizzard is putting into that product and for marketing purposes.
They have a huge setup that Neverwinter Nights 2 just doesn't have that kind of support, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
So with Oblivion being an immensely enjoyable and inspiring experience for me, I decided that was the kind of non-linear samurai world gameplay that I wanted to bring to Neverwinter Nights 2 as best I could. That's what I loved about the Neverwinter Nights 1 campaign. I mean, you were not forced to experience only one story up a linear road leading from one level to the other, like some platform game or common first-person shooter. You were free to roam and explore in any direction with plenty of side quests, dungeons, and surprises. Oblivion just takes that concept even further. Now, unfortunately, after the first Neverwinter Nights campaign, they began making the expansions and the Neverwinter Nights 2 campaign more linear for me, which I didn't enjoy quite as much, with the exception of Storm of Zero, of course. But even that has, for me, minor disappointments. That the Overland map, to me, should have been a full-scale lands to explore, and every town and city should have had. With Wolverheim, I wanted to bring this to Neverwinter Nights 2. I wanted a Neverwinter Nights 2 non-linear sandbox virtual world with many quests to do that don't all evolve around the same story. I thought it would be also a wise move to get out there and experience some of the persistent worlds that already existed for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, just to see what other developers were doing. I didn't want to go creating something that someone else is already doing, and I wanted to get a feel for what they were like. Since I was taking the big step of doing something like this for the first time all by myself, you know, I thought it'd be ideal. Although I certainly didn't go around trying them all out, I did head for a few of the populated ones. The persistent world that came vaguely closest to my vision was probably a Neverwinter Nights 1 persistent world called Three Towns. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I stuck around on that server longest to learn as much as I could. It did help to understand how things worked, but I must say that really no persistent world really appealed to me that much as a player. But the experience helped me realize very quickly that what I needed to do with Wolverheim, and what I most definitely did not want to do with Wolverheim. My vision for Wolverheim was to make it a long-lasting, fun experience for most types of players, whether it be all action hack and slasher or the role player. I wanted it to have fun and interesting features that added to immersion without it being too much of a hardcore role play game breaker that cheeses players off too much. The focus is most definitely on the action and the adventure overall. I wanted Wolfheim to be a self-sufficient entertainer without relying on DMs and a player base to make it come alive. And so far, I think it's working. The other reason why I wanted to do it this way is because I needed to. Being a lone developer, it needed to be fairly self-sufficient for that purpose. I've had players who have solo played on it for weeks, and I've absolutely raved about it, which is a good sign that it's probably working, though players I have are hoping for more players. So without relying on DM events, I wanted to of equipment by doing quests for shopkeepers and rare random special weapon drops. Eventually there will be guilds that players will be able to join. There's 7 guilds total, 4 reputable ones and 3 hidden secretive ones. Each guild will evolve around certain character classes and sometimes alignment. The guilds will help players to specialize their characters. So by joining, they'll gain access to equipment that is suited to the character and will benefit them throughout the upcoming quests that the guilds will throw at them. The guilds are still very much a work in progress at the moment. I'm due to start making the areas for the initiation quest soon that the players need to complete before being an accepted member. Eventually there will be a large campaign quest for each guild. Progressing through those quests will grant players with ranks, which will give them recognition and upgrade their equipment. Another important thing about Wolverheim, to me, is I wanted to reduce the feeling of grinding as much as I could. It's been commented by players that my quests don't feel like a grind, which is good, because there's always been objectives to fight your way to. I've had a lot of bounty quests that involve collecting items for rewards, but also some of them have a main goal attached to them, such as seeking out the source of a problem, which is usually leads to a boss fight. There are also other quests besides, but when it comes to the action quests, they do tend to feel necessary and not grindy. I've also recently managed to develop an automated enemy leveling system. I've actually set up most of the hostile NPCs in Wolverheim to copy the XP from the nearest PC player character, use it to level themselves up, so that way they're equal to the character. Not only that, but they have AC and enhancement bonuses added to their gear. This means that the quests are always scaled to the players, so they don't need to waste minding to get their characters in shape to do the next quest. How difficult a creature is depends entirely on its race, class, how I've offset the ability scores. And yeah, obviously I'd recommend saving up some decent equipment before players attempt some of the quests, and maybe hiring a mercenary if you have no one to party with, which is another feature of Wolverheim. Hired help.
What do new players need to do to get started playing, and how long can live now?
Right, well, players will need, obviously, Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer, and Storm's Ear, or the Platinum Edition, which, the Platinum Edition, of course, it has all in one. Wolverheim is set up to work with the auto-downloader, so they don't need to worry about downloading and installing anything manually. However, a word of caution is that it is a very long auto-download. Wolverheim has some hefty cosmetic content, but most of all, a lot of heavy detailed areas. Patience is required, and what I have noticed is that a lot of players do not have the patience to wait for it, which is a shame. As for it going live, Wolverheim has been officially live since around February 2010. It's still not very well known, I don't think. One of my players stated that Wolverheim is an undiscovered gem, which was one hell of a compliment. I hope it's true. But it has actually been in production since early 2007, March. I've been working on it for quite some time before I actually put it live.
What about the background story? Can you tell us some of that?
Certainly, yeah. As for the background story of Wolverheim, well, you see, as I'm not really that well acquainted with the Forgotten Realms books and geography of Toril, it felt wrong for me to attempt to recreate the story and region anywhere near the Faerûn setting. And not being much of a story reader myself, I certainly didn't want to go out and grab every Forgotten Realms book off the shelf. However, I did still want Wolverheim to somehow be based within the Forgotten Realms setting, since this is Neverwinter Nights and the content included in the game at my disposal is, at the end of the day, Forgotten Realms. I didn't want, on top of everything else, to go changing that as well. At first, I didn't really consider how Wolverheim would fit into Forgotten Realms. I decided I'd worry about that later. My main concern at first was making sure that I could get away with building a large set of terrain that linked up and looked seamless. I wanted to build a virtual world and for it to be as well established province ruled by a great king and his two dukes and a duchess, four towns and some scattered small settlements that were all at peace, but were under threat from many villainous underground parties. So the idea began fairly basic. It got to the point where I thought, okay, it's time to grow the story behind this, how it came to be, and then work out where it's going to fit into Forgotten Realms. So I did my homework, and I managed to find a couple of things. If I wanted to get away with creating my own space within the Forgotten Realms universe, I'd need an uncharted space and a feasible point in history that it would fit in and still make sense. So the first thing I found was the map of Toril, which thankfully had plenty of uncharted terrain across the Trackless Sea, which is directly west of the Sword Coast in Faerûn. I wanted to build fairly British, Northern European-looking terrain, so I thought the northern part of the uncharted territory made sense. Then I needed to decide how it came to be that there were settlements there. So instead of reading every Forgotten Realms book, I managed to find The Grand History of the Realms by Brian R. James, which gives you in brief every event that occurs throughout the Forgotten Realms. I have no idea if my story conflicts with the books, but I am yet to find out. I'm still waiting for a Forgotten Realms nerd to jump on me about it and about it conflicting with something, and it's not happened yet. According to the Grand History of the Realms, I do believe that I am okay so far. And so the story goes, Wolfheim is basically a province born of refugee colonists from Alask and Gordalgrim during the year of Terrible Anger, which was the year minus 111 DR, according to the information. Apparently, orc attacks on that territory were common back then, so my story is that many human, elf, and dwarf families fled the scene and sought refuge across the trackless sea until they discovered the new league they named Valhemia. And unfortunately, they were pursued by an orc tribe who settled the eastern lands adjacent to the province of Wolverheim. Despite this, over time, Valhemia grows into a powerful new country and is divided into multiple provinces by various civil wars. Things are prosperous for the province at the moment, but there are a lot of dramas and serious threats brewing, old enemies of the land returning to inflict vengeance, and yeah, and so it goes.
Looking on your website a little bit, I noticed that you were classified your server as role-playing and then changed it to action. If you were going to classify it, how would you, what type do you think it would be? And are you at a high, medium, or a low magic type server?
Yeah, so that's always been the difficult part for me. I mean, I'm probably no expert on role-play classifications, but I would say it's high magic and falls into all of the other categories. One of my players actually said that I've pretty much covered everything with Wolfheim. There is nothing there. Well, there is something there for every type of player. I allow role play, but I don't enforce it. And Wolfheim, as a world, caters for every player type. The only complaint I had was from a pure hack and slasher that hated quests, loved raking in loads of XP for easy kills, and really loathed that his favorite shops were closed at night. But, you know, you can't please everyone. Currently, the server is under the action category online. I think that's probably the best place for it overall.
So tell us a bit about how many DMs you have, if you're recruiting, you know, what sort of things you're looking for.
Right. Technically, I don't have any DMs. Well, maybe apart from myself, I occasionally pop in to sit around and in case anyone has any questions or get stuck, which never seems to happen. But anyway, I have had an offer from a guy named Tickler Design, who is also offering to help build some of my areas for me. He may take up the job of DM when the population of the server grows a bit more. To be honest, with Wolverheim being a fairly sufficient module and only a low population of players at the moment, I'm not that bothered about having DMs around. However, if any DMs out there would love to host some events on Wolverheim and bring with them some more players, then I would be more than happy to let them. Anyone who is interested, then please join the Wolverheim forum at wolverheim.myfreeforum.org and PM me, Shockwolf. I'll be happy to discuss it.
What are some of the challenges you face running a Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World?
Building it all by myself has been pretty challenging. Getting it noticed by players, and probably my biggest issue, is its size as a single module. Although the server appears to have no problem running it without having to render any graphics, trying to playtest the whole thing in single player is getting increasingly difficult. It's a very detailed, data-heavy world, and as a result, it runs out of memory for the textures. This causes all kinds of visual weirdness and, at worst, area transition crashes. Trying it on a 64-bit OS with more memory only leads to more frequent crashing, which is pretty weird. I expected that that would improve the situation, not make it worse. But anyway, my worry is that in time the server won't be able to cope either. the only way I can resolve this issue is splitting up the module into several smaller ones under a campaign. However, that isn't really feasible for multiplayer unless I have multiple servers, each hosting a different module with them portaling together, which is expensive. I've tried that anyway with no reliable success. The only other option is to continue developing World of Heim as a single-player campaign. I have no problem with that idea. I guess it would mean leaving the multiplayer version unfinished, which I would really hate to do.
You definitely have to architect your world. You definitely want to keep those type things in check, you know, how the size of it and things like that, and how, you know, how you architect it. I mean, there's a lot of tools out there, and it may be able to be helpful to you, like the Neverwinter Nights extender, and, you know, maybe even hooking up a DB to it and shared vaults. And that could be a way for you to be able to split it up too. So it's just something to point out there.
Yeah.
Where do you see the Neverwinter Nights 2 community going in the upcoming years? Since it's, you know, we've had a recent release on Steam. You know, giving access again to potential players out there, because, you know, about a year or so ago they quit even selling the game in the store, so it doesn't lend us to getting new players. But, you know, from what you've been able to gather from your travels across the different persistent worlds and in your own development, where do you think? Where do you think it's going?
Well, yeah, interesting. If you'd asked me this question last year, I would have said that it was dying. At least the online gameplay would end. I think the bulk of the community is probably single-player orientated, but whether that changes or not, I can't really say. Ever since I put Wolverheim out there a year ago, I've been debating whether to continue leaving it up. The show of players has been fairly dire. However, when I placed a small single-player demo of Wolverheim on the Neverwinter Vaults, there was a lot more attention from the single-player community. I mentioned that I was considering making Wolverheim a single-player campaign because of the lack of online activity and, of course, because of the module size issues I was having, which might be resolvable now. So far, there have been more positive responses from the single-player crew, wishing I'd convert it, but that may change. I do have a voting poll on the Wolverheim forum at the moment. You can vote whether you want Wolverheim as a single player or prefer I leave it as a multiplayer version. Despite some of the amazing comments the multiplayer guys have left so far, the demand for single player is winning. but that may change. Like I say, with Atari and Steam now selling the Platinum Edition of Neverwinter Nights 2 for only $20, there has been a sudden surge of players and a recent boost of interest in Wolverheim. So that said, it's hard to say what the future will bring for the Neverwinter Nights 2 community. Hopefully good things.
Do you hold any regularly scheduled events on Wolverheim?
Not one single event, sorry, no. But my message to players is this. In Wolverheim, you don't need events. It's fun enough as it is, and it will keep you busy.
While you've been running Wolfenheim, have you had any particularly enjoyable or memorable moments?
The moments I enjoy most are seeing my vision come to life and watching other players enjoy it. When I've worked so hard on an idea, when it comes together and actually works with great results, it's an awesome feeling. And to hear amazing feedback from my players makes it all worthwhile. So.
Well, I want to say thanks for coming on the podcast and telling us about your persistent world. I mean, you definitely got a really unique vision, and just the fact that you have a lot of people actually looking even to make it a single-player mod. I mean, I know that we've talked about, you know, spinning stuff off at some point in single-player mods so that, you know, to tap into that community section. But, you know, yeah, just looking at what you've done with the way you've built your module and the dedication and you took to get where you're at, it's fantastic. You know, I think everybody out there should take a look at your server and, you know, give it a shot, and because there's a lot of really good content out there.
You did a
lot of good stuff for the Neverwinter community. You know, I want to say once again, you know, thanks for coming on the show. Do you have anything in closing you'd like to add to, you know?
Just thanks for having me on the show. It's been a great pleasure, and I'm honored.
I'll give you the final line there.
So get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.
Wow. So, get in game and level up.
Wow. Was that? Well, you know, we'll you jumped the gun on me there. Hold on a second. I'll do the show closing, so hang on. So anyhow,
edit that.
Yeah, don't worry, that'll be edited out. At least I have an alternate rendition of it, so if I need to throw it on the end, if your next rendition is not quite as spontaneous and or boisterous.
I seem to be losing you.